I want to now go to Galatians chapter 1, and I'm going to read Galatians 1, verses 1 to 4. This is such a beautiful, beautiful thing because it is the Word of God, and we know that, we believe that, and because we do, it helps us so tremendously, not only initially in our salvation, being justified through faith in Jesus Christ, but in our sanctification and our walk as well. And so we are eager to hear the Word and listen to it preached upon. So let's now hear from God's Word read. Galatians chapter 1, and I'll begin at really verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God, the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is no other, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. 4. Do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So ends the reading. This portion of Scripture to us, before us now. We ask you once again, Heavenly Father, to bathe our mind with truth and help us to walk according to the faith once delivered. Be with us as we listen more intently to the gospel now preached. In your precious name we pray, amen. I'm reminded of a line in a song sung by Janis Joplin. The words go, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. You got nothing if it ain't free. There's also a saying that the world often uses out and about, in parlance of the world, nothing in this world is free, especially with regard to government largesse. And, of course, that's not too far off the mark of truth. Nothing in this world is free. Everything has a price. Someone pays the price. Someone pays the cost. However, there is something not of this world that is free, and that's called free grace. True, grace comes to us that are born again at a cost, a great cost, the greatest of all costs, the sacrifice of God's own Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God paid everything, like that song. The song says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. We pay nothing. Man unsaved is under the bondage of sin, body and soul, mind and spirit, heart and will, dead in trespass and sin. And you would have to be a crazed Arminian or a semi-Pelagian Catholic to think otherwise. Error abounds outside and inside the church world today. Errors and lies come from both man and the devil. God alone says nothing but the truth, especially in spiritual matters, where he says nothing but the truth. And he is the way, the truth, and the life, as you know. Today we are told that there are many drowning in debt. But there's something they're drowning in far greater. And the scriptures inform us that most are drowning in sin and death. And how shall one escape this terrible situation, ordeal? And thanks be to God who frees us from sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul here in Galatians reminds them of their liberty gained through the gospel. A gospel free and pure. Why? Because it did not come from man, it came from God. Verses 11 and 12 and verse 4 are the verses I want to focus on with you this evening. Verses 11 and 12, I'll repeat. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Fallen man is contained within a prison house of unbelief. The whole of him, not merely parts of him. Arguing, for example, his body is in prison, but his soul is free. Or his body and soul are in prison, but his will and intellect are free. Such beliefs are illusions. They are tricks of the devil, performed by the devil. Truth be told, man fell and he fell hard. And he fell completely. And he fell into a pit deep and dark. No way out, save one. And that's Jesus Christ. He lifted me, as the hymn says, he lifted me. Now, before I come to this great truth, the principle of the Christian's freedom, his deliverance from bondage, the bondage of fear and corruption, in a word, the bondage of sin, as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, and delivers us into the glorious liberty of the children of God, I would first wish to establish upon what authority this high truth is founded. The authority upon which the apostle preaches is found everywhere in the Bible and throughout the Gospels and throughout the epistles, and more particularly concerning our text in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. There's the authority. I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached for me is not after man, neither did I receive it from man, but neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Against the accusers and confusers of the day, Paul's gospel comes to him not from man, but from God's own Son, by revelation, Jesus Christ. This gospel is to be received and believed, it's to be trusted and obeyed. It did not originate out of man's fancies or opinions or hopes and desires, nor man's reasonings and philosophies and psychologies, but rather originated from heaven, from God. And we must always keep near and dear in mind and in heart that this word, the entire Bible, is not the result of mere men in committee hammering out a cogent religious message. This word, and in particular this gospel, comes to us through revelation from the highest authority in earth and in heaven, Jesus Christ, who ascended to the throne of God. It comes from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Men and women of the world often seek the highest authority in which to believe in and rest with. And you may apply this to the practice of medicine, for example. You might receive a diagnosis from a doctor, a treatment plan for your malady. But, you know, you talk around, you look around, you ask around, and you come to the decision that I'd like a second opinion. But not from your wife, who's also a doctor, rather from an expert in this matter. A diagnosis and a treatment program that, from the best, from the highest authority. That's what we sought when our daughter was diagnosed with a problem. Our daughter, she was... they looked at the x-ray and they saw the shadow and they thought she had some spinal problem that had to be operated upon. Well, we went and saw at the highest authority around here, the head neurologist at Children's Hospital. And he got all the charts there and he showed the pictures and he said, this is what they saw in the x-ray and they're misinterpreting it. And he told us why and all that. And that's what we do, you know. You don't have to tell me twice. She doesn't need to. He says, I wouldn't operate on her if you paid me. So, said, you don't have to tell me twice, doctor. Or pertaining to legal matters. Often the appeal, an appeal is made. After an unfavorable decision is reached in a lower court, appeal is made to the Supreme Court. That sort, the highest authority in the land. This is Paul's claim in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, against the accusers and confusers of the day that came to Galatia and tried to intimidate them into not believing him. Ruin his credibility. My gospel preaching comes not from man, not from my own head, but by revelation from heaven, from Jesus Christ himself. Having said that, let's go back now to verses 3, 4, and 5, particularly verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Reverend John Hayes, who wrote an article entitled Our Christian Liberty, remarks, by some in these churches in Galatia, Paul was accused of bringing a gospel that did not please them. Because they were coming, and this is me now, they were coming that they were not pleased with Paul because he was saying that his gospel that it's not of works of the law, but of grace. And they wanted it to be of faith and works. And not nullify the Old Testament law, the ceremonial laws and stuff like that. And Paul was saying, no more. Well, they considered it to be a false doctrine. Continues Reverend Hayes. Likewise today, the false doctrines which Satan has worked into the church world divide and separate many churches and link them up with the world. Today, many churches maintain that they are free to walk in what they call Christian liberty. Actually, they are walking in anti-Christian deviltry. It's amazing to realize what a tremendous number of different kinds of churches there are today. They do not simply have different names, but they have distinctly different kinds of doctrines and walks of life. We do well, therefore, to consider what our God reveals to us here through the Apostle Paul. Brethren, for example, we want to consider verse 4, and particularly the latter part of verse 4. What he says here, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. that he might deliver us. The word means pluck out, draw out, choose out, rescue, liberate us from this present evil world. Well, you might step back a little and say, what did he say? What did he call this present world in which we live? He calls it this present evil world. Now let's think about this. And I like to think about it in three stages. The first, paradise and the fall. The second, Noah's age after the flood to the present. Third, the new age, new earth, new heaven. So in the beginning, after God created man in his own image and after his own likeness, he placed him in a paradise, perfect, very good, no sin, no sickness, no death, positively speaking, in perfect union with himself. After a while, apparently a short while, the devil in the form of a serpent entices both the man and the woman to rebel against their wonderful creator. Thrust from the garden paradise, they venture forth dead in trespass and sin. And the man and the woman give birth to children in their image and after their own likeness, also dead in trespass and sin. And stop and ask yourself, is this freedom? All the world is dead in trespass and sin, for we all descend from Adam, the descendants of Adam and Eve. Is that liberty? If that is the idea of freedom and liberty, to sin and die, well, you keep it, pervert. That's not my idea, certainly not God's idea. So wicked, so evil did this Adamic age become, with several exceptions along the way, who was saved out of it by the free grace of God, that by the time of Noah, all the world, including the souls in the world, except for eight, were destroyed. The whole world, except for eight, destroyed by flood. Noah's age after the flood to the present is what Paul refers to as this present evil world. Now, why does he call this age in which we live evil? Well, it's because of the heart of man, which is only evil continually, says the Bible. Deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Immediately after God destroyed the first world by flood, God declares in Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. It's still evil. Noah and his sons, daughter-in-laws, still evil, all of them. Apart from grace, of course. Furthermore, there's a curse upon the earth, right? The world for the sake of man's sin. There's a curse upon the earth, this world, for the sake of man's sin. All the terrible things that take place in this world, fires, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, all the rest, so what? Anyone with any sense and has read something along the way would understand that these are all birth pangs, the birth pangs of the judgment that is to come. So there's no paradise that's going to emerge from this stuff. Moreover, Satan is called the prince of the air. The nations and the peoples of this world operate under the shadow of the devil's black wings. We Christians are warned by the inspired apostle in Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10, 11, to 13, actually. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of who? The devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is the evil day, because this is this present world is evil, according to God. So that's a trouble, right? The people of the earth think wrongly or not at all about the state of their soul, but mostly and mainly about their flesh. They place their faith, their hopes, their loves, all of it, in things below. Science and technology, education, government, medicine and the arts, philosophies and psychologies, family and friends, even a variety of man-made religions, and not in the one and only Savior who can free them from sin and the curse and the devil. Bound are they by lies. The lie of the devil that misleads, saying you can be as God, determining for yourself what is right and wrong, good and bad, captain of your ship, masters of your own destiny. They're lost. The whole world is lost. Turn on the news. I don't know. At night sometimes when I go home from church, I turn on the news. And what do you see? What do you hear? Listen to the views of many today. Tell me, what do you conclude from it all? Have we evolved? Or are we evolving into a higher species? Enlightened with superior intelligence, motivated by pure love, on the precipice of ushering in a brave new world of peace, prosperity, and kindness? Is that what you hear about? Is that what you see? Anyone who thinks so is under a satanic delusion. Despite the good achievements and advancements in science, technology, medicine, and the rest, the heart of man has not graduated beyond sin and death. He is bound. Man is bound in evil, small and great, rich and poor, gifted and not so much. All are imprisoned in a house of sin. Nothing and no one to free them, except one, Jesus Christ, through the gospel of truth and grace. It's wonderful, the gospel of truth and grace. We have it. Ernest DeWitt Burton, in his commentary, points out that the word translated delivered in verse 4 denotes not a removal from, but a rescue from the power of. This word is used throughout Acts in Acts 7, 16, 24, 12, 11, 23, 27, 26, 17. In all these verses, the word, in all these cases, the emphasis of the word is upon the idea of rescue, not removal. He's not removed us from the evil world as a church, but he's rescued us from the power, definitive sanctification. You're talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Murray points that out, that we are no longer under dominion, the power of sin. Luther writes in his commentary on Galatians chapter 1, this verse we're looking at, the portion of the verse we're looking at in 4, 4b, he says, Luther says, here Paul calls the whole world, the present world, to put a difference between this and the everlasting world to come. Moreover, he calls it evil because whatever is in this world is subject to the malice of the devil reigning over the whole world. The world is the devil's kingdom. In it is nothing but ignorance, contempt, blasphemy, hatred of God, and disobedience against all his words and works of God. In and under this kingdom of the world are we. As many then as are in the world are bond slaves of the devil, constrained to serve him and do his pleasure. And I know that sounds offensive. Right? It doesn't sound like we should tell people these things, but tell them sweet things to woo them to Christ. Well, that's why you have the church in the condition it's in today. But for us who believe to the saving of our soul, being born again by the Spirit, Christ has put away sin and has delivered. He has rescued. He has rescued us from the tyranny and the kingdom of the devil. That is to say, from the wicked world, which is an obedient servant and willing follower of the devil, its God. Hence, we have been emancipated from this present evil place through faith alone in Christ alone, without works of the past, present, and future, which the false teachers in Galatia were promoting among the Galatians. Luther concludes on this topic. Paul then, by this word evil, shows that the kingdom of the world, or the devil's kingdom, is the kingdom of iniquity, ignorance, error, sin, death, blasphemy, desperation, and everlasting damnation. On the other side, the kingdom of Christ is the kingdom of equity, light, grace, remission of sins, peace, consolation, saving health, and everlasting life, into which we are translated by our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory world without end. Amen. One of the several arguments that people give against the gospel is that it's not practical. It's fanciful, it's pie in the sky, or it's reserved for the church, and it applies to the church's goings on. Its members and their children, its programs, its events, its picnics, its life in and around the Bible. Paul here nullifies that. That is the attitude of many Christians. But Paul nullifies that. He makes clear that the gospel of Jesus Christ delivers us. It rescues us, not takes us out of this present world, but it rescues us from this evil world, this evil cosmos. That's what the world means. The word means cosmos. It's cursed. The gospel encompasses all of life in this place, not merely a part of it. And this, again, is what I've been saying now for a while from the pulpit in the morning, so that everybody has heard it, and as well as in the evening. This gospel encompasses all of life. It's personal. It's individual. Its concern is with your person, body and soul, wherever you go, with whomever you interact, at church, at work, at school, at play, at home, on vacation, wherever you go, whatsoever you do. You are a child of God, rescued from Satan's kingdom. Satan's kingdom is this present world. Everything in the world. Evil, says Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4b. But you, dear saint, are a survivor in Christ. In a word, the gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned with all of life as you live and breathe in this present evil world under the stars. I've mentioned this before to you that Jerome, one of our church fathers of the 4th and 5th centuries, thought to escape from the evil influences of the world, taking up residence in the desert, having himself castrated. He thought to reduce, even eliminate, lustful thoughts and desires. But as he peered out into the desert, he observed the scorpions and imagined them to be dancing girls. Didn't work. Of course, he found out too late. But you cannot escape this present evil world through monkery or protectionism of yourself and children. Why? Please listen to this. Please take this home with you, this thought. Because this world is not only outside you, it's also inside you. You carry it with you wherever you go, the old man strapped to you. You can't escape. There's no way of escape, as Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 28. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. No good thing. Evil. Nothing. Nothing good about it. Notwithstanding this, the gospel rescues your life, all of your living, so that whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, you owe all to the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. Your gospel presentation is not the only witness. Your lifestyle must be included so that you may win another to Christ without at first speaking a word, as Peter instructs wives to win over their husbands for Christ, towards Christ, without a word. That's what he says in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. Without a word. So, and I think I shared this with you before too, while working with people's homes, installing alarm systems in semi-mansions in Long Island, and also working with crews. Even in Pittsburgh, I was approached from time to time, I have been, by the person of the house and asked, there's something different about you. And then asked, are you a Christian? Dear saints, live in this world as if you live in another, and teach your children and grandchildren to do likewise. Christians ought to be prepared, mainly by parents and grandparents, to live as responsible adults. 13 years of age. That is what the Jews did back in the day, around the 2nd century on. A 13-year-old boy was considered to begin his adulthood at the time of his bar mitzvah. And bar mitzvah literally means son of the commandments, indicating his responsibility before God and man to obey, to fulfill all the commands of the Mosaic law. At 13. And the woman as well, the girl as well, at 13. It's called a bat mitzvah there. It was called at 13 the coming of age into adulthood. The coming of age. Third, finally, the Bible speaks of a world to come. This present evil world is temporary. You, dear Christian, are destined for immortality. You have already begun everlasting life, born from within. You, dear saints, are pilgrims journeying to a new world, a forever home. This present evil world is doomed, and in the day of Noah, said Jesus, as in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to continue like that. And then the judgment. Just like in the day of Noah. Just like in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus talked about this in Luke 17. You, Christian, have been freed from doom. Hid now in Christ till you come home. In the words of John Bunyan, this world is the city of destruction. And that there is only one thing to do, and that is to get out of it and make your escape as Pilgrim did. Therefore, we look for a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. There is a new age to come. You've been delivered from the wrath to come, liberated from the chains that bind souls to this place, straining every which way to get out of them. Improve this world. That's it, improve this world. Though better to try, I suppose, than not. That is the way forward. Let's improve the world. That's according to the gospel of man. Did you know that? That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Improve this world. That's a way down. You can't improve this world so that you can create another paradise or a utopia. This world is under judgment. This world is being prepped for judgment. You have not that mighty Excalibur that breaks the chain that binds. Flee, says John the Baptist at the beginning of his ministry. Flee, says Jesus Christ at the beginning of his ministry. Flee from the wrath to come. That's their gospel message. What do you mean, improve this world? The gospel message is flee from the wrath to come. Instead, flee into the arms of Jesus. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. My zeal no respite know, my tears forever flow. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. And thank God he has. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Free at last are we, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing to us the truth. As the song says, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And you are the only one that saves. And you have saved us all, each and every one of us, from a terrible place, an evil place. Sometimes it doesn't appear that way. It appears very pretty and a lot of fun. And it is luring. It is, as the old saying is, all that glitters is not gold, but there's a lot of glitter. And a lot of things that are happening that seem good. Certainly science is a good thing and all that. Technology is good in most part, but man is not. We are not. And so we are thankful that you saved us. really from ourselves. You saved us from the evil that lurks within, and from being under the power and influence of the devil. And has brought us into a clear light. Thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen.